Hey, thanks for joining us. This is Lady V, along with SD. We are She Talks Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, the podcast, where it is our goal to inspire hope. Today's topic, Eternity Awaits.
If this is your first time with us, I am SD, here with Lady V.
Hey.
If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe so that you will be alerted when we upload new episodes.
Yes.
Absolutely. To our regular listeners, we just want to thank you so much.
Bless you.
You guys are listening from around the world. The U.S., Canada, yes. France, the Philippines, Singapore, Belgium, mm-hmm. South Africa,
yes.
Australia, the U.K. And mm-hmm. we just thank you guys for hanging
in here with us.
We pray for you and
yes.
we hope that our podcast will continue to bless you.
Yes,
Lady V, let's go on and just start on out today.
All right. So we are so excited just to speak to all that are tuning in, knowing that we believe God is making a difference in your lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that God is using us to do just that. Today, what we're talking about is called Eternity Awaits, okay? Because we know many people, due to what's been going on, coronavirus, and so many different things going on in the world today, mm-hmm. many have lost loved ones. And we, too, have lost a loved one this year as well. And, you know, that can make a person reflect on the life that's after this one here
mm-hmm.
on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And although as Christians, we know what waits for us after death, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a life with our God, with his Holy Spirit, and with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And
mm-hmm.
So our loved one that passed away this year, we know that she is with Jesus, because
mm-hmm.
Jesus was her Lord and Savior. So, you know, that gives a family of peace when you know your loved one knew the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But many others, they have no idea of what's next for them, you know, and or if there's even a next for them. Some people don't even believe that there's a next life after this,
mm-hmm.
or they have different beliefs about how life is once you take your last breath here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
However, according to scripture, there is a next after this life here on earth ends. So to get a little bit into that, Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. And he tells it to his disciples about a rich man and a poor man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus liked to tell parables, which are stories, you know, because they were relatable to people. And people
right.
could, his disciples could pretty much, they could pretty much understand it. You know, if those that were listening could understand it. And if they didn't, you know, they would ask, what does that mean? But so this story in Luke chapter 16 is about a rich man and a poor man. And a poor man's name happened to be Lazarus, and this is not the same Lazarus that was raised from the dead, that was Mary and Martha's brother. This is a different Lazarus.
Right.
This man was a poor man. And so, you know, Jesus says, and starting with verse 19, that there was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen, and who lived each day in luxury. So, you know, he was well dressed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And at this gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. So he had no health insurance, y'all. So
right.
he couldn't go mm-hmm. to the doctor to get this fixed. So he's laying there and he's covered in sores. It also sounds like this man is homeless, you
mm-hmm.
know? So it says, as Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores.
Mm.
Okay, now let's look at something right here that I noticed. If the poor man was at the gates of the rich man's residence, just waiting, hoping just to get some scrambles through his trash and get some of his scraps that he threw out
mm-hmm.
from his table, that tells me the rich man never offered him anything.
Right.
He never came and took notice of his lack and decided to meet that need. I mean, he was a rich man. He could have met the need.
Yeah.
We're supposed to meet the needs of the poor if we are, if it's in our power to do so.
Right.
You do it. But obviously this rich man did not. He pay no attention to that. So, you know, that's a problem with the heart. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have a heart to help someone in need, then that is something that is really troubling, because I go to Proverbs 19 and 17, where it says, if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord
mm-hmm.
and he will repay you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't dismiss the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's picking back up at verse 22, it says, finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet.
Mm-hmm.
The rich man also died and was buried, And he went to a place of the dead. There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. Now, Abraham and the poor man, Lazarus, was not in the same place that the rich man was. Okay. Now, I'm going to explain that. So the beggar, you know, he dies and the angel carries him to paradise, which is at Abraham's side at a place of blessing where the righteous dead go. So, you know, you have to have reservations through Jesus to get there or justify Abraham. And other, I'm get into that later. Abraham was justified by faith. So you have to be, you know, even through Jesus, you're justified by faith.
Right.
So, you know, to explain further, with verse 23 in another translation, it says in Hades, where he, the rich man, was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham away, far away with Lazarus, the beggar. Now, Hades is the place where the wicked dead go and suffer torment. You know, so there's a tremendous difference between the two destinations. One where the poor man was at Abraham's side at this banquet, this heavenly banquet, where there's plenty, you know, so he living the life, you know, wherein the rich man, he ended up in Hades in this place of torment. This does not say that wealth is bad. This only says that the love of money is the root of all evil.
Right.
So if this man obviously had a love of money, this rich man had a love of money because he was too stingy to share it.
That's right.
So that's a love of money, which is very dangerous. It's when you just, how you manage money does make a difference in your life and somebody else's life. So in verse 24, it says, the rich man shouted, Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames, where anguish is agony. Now, of course, again, they're not at the same place, but obviously this in this story, the rich man could see them, could see the good, them living a good life where they had water to drink. They weren't hot, you know, where he didn't have water to drink. He was thirsty and he was hot and he was in agony and torment. But verse 25 says, but Abraham said to him, son, remember that during your lifetime, you had everything you wanted and Lazarus had nothing. So now he, meaning Lazarus, is here being comforted and you are in anguish. In verse 26, it says, and besides, there is a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here and no one can cross over to us from there. Now, a chasm is also known as a bottomless gulf or a pit. It's a marked division, which is also known as the abyss. So in verse 27, then the rich man said, you know, please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers and I want to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment. But Abraham said, Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote. The rich man replied, no, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, they will repent of their sins and turn to God. But Abraham said, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead.
Let
me tell you this. Now, this also alludes to when Jesus rose from the dead, people, more than 500 people saw him at a time. Okay, so, but even today, people still don't believe.
You
know, even then, when Pharisees, everyone heard of, you know, of these reports, they still thought it's just the believers just trying to make up something that Jesus rose from the dead. But he did. He came back from the dead. And, you know, there were still people that didn't believe. Still people don't believe today. But, you know, that's okay. The truth is the truth. And you can't wipe out the truth. That's why the Bible is still one of the greatest known books sold here in the world.
The greatest
sold book in the world. And it ain't going nowhere. The word is forever. Okay, but getting back to, and first, let's look at 1 Corinthians, verse 15, chapter 15, verse 3 through 8 says that he was buried. This is Jesus. This is the proof I want to give you that, 500 people saw, had sightings of Jesus. He was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said, as they foretold, he was seen by Peter, then by the 12, and after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. So, like I said, even today, people don't want to believe that, you know, that's in history, that's written in history, you know, in church history, and some people still don't believe that, but that's okay. But the point of that message with the parable where Abraham was saying that if they won't listen to what's written, you know, why would they listen if somebody rises from the dead and tells them? Because they're still going to want to be set into what they want to believe. So let's look also, you know, at how in this story, that Jesus tells, the rich man, he didn't want his family to come there. So that lets you know right there is a bad place. And he's like, oh, you know, I didn't have the knowledge of this, but I was ignorant and I didn't know the truth, but I don't want my family to go without knowing the truth. But once you take your last breath and you enter eternity, if you have not received Jesus as Lord and Savior, you know, there is no going back. There is absolutely no going back to change things. And you can't go back and warn your family. You can't, there's nothing you can do, you know, with that. So this, like I said, this indicates in Jesus' story to the disciples that there is a next after this life. Mm-hmm. And if people remain ignorant of the truth of the word of God, that next will be a place of great torment, mm-hmm. you know. And I know, you know, some people, you know, have their minds made up about rejecting the word of God. But one thing about God is, and he, you know, Jesus is the same. He's a gentleman. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to force anyone to receive his son. We as ministers of the gospel of Jesus, we're not even here to force anyone to believe how we believe. Mm-mm. We're just here to tell you the truth. That's all we're here to do. Mm-hmm. You can receive it or reject it, but that's up to you. Mm-hmm. But we advise you that there is a next after this. So mm-hmm. Be mindful of that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we think about the person that is determined to reject Jesus in their heart, they are settled in their truth.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like their truth is absolute end all, you know. So, you know, and God will allow them to sit in their truth, you know, and he's not gonna make you believe it. I even go back to when Jesus and the disciples were going from town to town and Jesus was ministering to the different towns, you know. He even told his disciples, look, if they don't want to listen to you, go into a town, they don't want to listen to you, mm-hmm. then you just shake the dust off your feet. That means keep on trucking. That's keep on moving. Mm-hmm. Keep on moving. Don't let that bother you. Keep on moving. You ain't there to force somebody to believe. You ain't there to convince somebody to believe. You ain't there to debate nobody. If you want to go with a certain doctrine, that's on you. I am not here to debate. I'm just saying I'm here to tell you the truth, you know, and it's not my truth. It's God's truth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's not something that is a doctrine that I made up, you know, this is all God. So, you know, again, anyone that doesn't believe there's a place of torment called Hades, you know, they're going to be like the rich man. They're going to be in shock, you mm-hmm. know. And sadly, you know, there's no way out after you take that last breath. And I recall we was watching a certain reality show last week. And I remember the young lady, her boyfriend, and she had a child, but he was a Christian. And, you know, she was Jewish. And she told him she didn't believe that there was a hell. And that sat in my heart because mm-hmm. my thought was, well, you know, not believing in it yourself does not mean it does not exist.
That's right.
So be careful what you believe, because if you're believing wrong, there is a next after this, and you are the decision maker as to where your next will be, what your next residence will be after you leave from here and you mm-hmm. enter into eternity.
And one thing I would like to offer is, mm-hmm. If you're not sure, mm-hmm. ask God to just reveal it to you. Now, if you believe in him, mm-hmm. if you believe in him, and she said she was Jewish. Mm-hmm. Now, it's Jehovah to them. Mm-hmm. That's how they refer to him, as Jehovah. Now, if you truly believe in him, then ask him to reveal mm-hmm. his truth to you. Mm-hmm. Instead mm-hmm. of just accepting what you've been taught, mm-hmm. ask him to reveal his truth to you. And mm-hmm. I'm telling you, he will do it.
Yeah, God is, he is one that I have learned I know God as Father now. Mm-hmm. He is one that if someone is seeking the truth, you'll find it.
You'll get it.
Mm-hmm. You'll find it. He'll make sure you find the truth. Mm-hmm. He'll make sure. There's been Muslims that have given their lives to Jesus because they sought the truth.
Yes.
And they turned and converted to Christianity. Mm-hmm. Now, they sought the truth and God revealed to them the truth.
Right.
So that's why they converted. They realized, oh, this God is real. This Jesus is real.
Yes.
So again, like Estee said, if you truly want to know the truth, mm-hmm. ask God for yourself. Mm-hmm. Ask God for yourself and let him reveal it to you. And be willing to wait for him to reveal it. And be willing to keep asking and asking and mm-hmm. asking. Mm-hmm. And don't stop asking until you get an answer. I promise you, he will answer you. That's mm-hmm. why we don't debate anybody. We just say, go to God. Mm-hmm. You know, because we know our God, he will answer you. He's not a stone or a statue that's going to sit there and you're going to look at it and you're going to be doing rituals and nothing happens.
Right.
He is a relational God. Our God is a relational God. And he does speak and he will reveal through dreams and visions, and he will speak audibly. He will speak through the Holy Spirit. But you got to have an ear to hear, and you got to have a heart that truly wants him.
That's it. That's it. You know, because Don't do it being facetious.
No.
Don't do it like, okay, God. All right. You real. All right. How about you talk to me then?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's a story where that I had read one time, mm-hmm. where it was a young man. He was away at college. And most, I don't know how many college students are listening to us,
uh-huh.
but when he, most time, most secular universities, mm-hmm. they have a class where the freshmen, college mm-hmm. students, end up having to take. And in that class,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times that's where they're challenged mm-hmm. about their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are Christian, mm-hmm. a lot of times that's where their Christianity is challenged.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not rooted mm-hmm. in the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
They can be swayed
yeah.
to other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where in this particular story, the professor was up there and was talking about the Christianity and talking about if God was real, if Jesus was real, and then he was being facetious. Well, God, if you real, come and just knock me out of my chair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The young Christian boy got up. He went over there and knocked him out of his chair. He said, God told me to knock you out of your chair. Then he picked up his books and walked out of the classroom.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But the point of that was the man was mocking.
Yeah.
Now, see, everyone has a right to believe what they want to believe, mm-hmm. how they want to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I respect anyone's right to not want to believe the
mm-hmm,
Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But just because, like Lady V said, mm-hmm. just because you don't believe it's true,
mm-hmm.
that don't stop it from being true.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, so, you know, again, you know, seek God for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't seek man for answers. Seek God. You mm-hmm. know, he is a God that will reach out to you. If you want him, you welcome him into your life to reach out to you.
That's right.
He certainly will respond.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so back to, you know, what we were talking about in the text, you know. So, you know, we go and we look at the things that Jesus told in this parable to tell a story and to point out some things. There was certain features that I noticed, you know, that Lazarus, the poor man, he was named, but the rich man was not.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't important for the rich man's name to say, but just to clarify him as someone who did not give to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who obviously had no heart for the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And also someone whose money could not help him in eternity.
That's right.
You know, so you can't just, because someone has a life here on earth that looks like they got it all, and you think, oh, they got everything. If they don't have Jesus, they have absolutely nothing.
That's right.
Because this rich man, he had it all, but when he went into eternity, he didn't have nothing but torment waiting for him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's not us tearing down riches, because God wants us to have the best of this, you know, this earth has to offer mm-hmm. that he has made, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So he made everything good that was made by God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that he wouldn't want us to have a wealthy, like there's a lot of wealthy Christians around the world. So
that's,
it's not
right.
about not having wealth. It's about what you do with it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with what you are given? Because
mm-hmm.
we are blessed to be a blessing.
That's right.
We're not blessed to hold on to it and be selfish with it. We're blessed to help others with
mm-hmm.
it. You know, it's to make your life good and then to help somebody else's life be better.
And then you don't have to be rich to do that.
That's right. You don't have to be rich.
You know, you may be someone thinking, well, I don't make a lot of money. How am I supposed to help the poor mm-hmm. or whatever? And let's think about it. If there's something that you like to buy yourself from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, a coffee, a mm-hmm. special coffee, or mm-hmm. you like to eat out a lot. Why
mm-hmm.
not take that money that you would have spent for yourself
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and buy a meal for a homeless person?
Mm-hmm. And like you say, you know, it doesn't take a lot all the time. People might think, oh, I don't have it like that. But you do. I remember one Sunday when me and my daughter was coming back from, you know, church, you know, we used to stop and, you know, just get something to eat from, you know, fast food restaurant, what we would do, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we went into the Walmart for something, but then we came out and we was driving. We saw a homeless woman with her cart and everything. And she was just lay there, you know, just laid out, you know, just sitting there and everything. And my daughter, she wanted to give her something. And, you know, at the time, you know, I didn't have any cash with me but $15. I was like, you know what? Yeah, let's just take this and this $15, and I'm gonna walk it over here, and I'm gonna give it to this lady. And I sat down and I just gave it to her and just, you know, told her the guy loved her, you know. Mm-hmm. And for some, that $15 may not seem like much, but to her, she act like that $15 meant the world. Mm-hmm. That $15 for her, well, she responded was like it was $100. Uh-huh. So, you know, if for someone who has not eaten mm-hmm. all day or all week, yep. you know, $15 is a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, but for those that, you know, that had more to give, you give more. You give according to what you have mm-hmm. to give. And you may not can't feed the whole tent, you know, nation of homeless people, the tent mm-hmm. cities of homeless people. But if you can help one,
yeah,
you have shown compassion for another life here on earth. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't have to be somebody to bleed the way you do.
That's right.
It's just another human being that's breathing. Yes. You know, you see a need, you meet it. That's what we're supposed to be doing, you know. Mm-hmm. So we see different stories with young people giving socks during wintertime mm-hmm. or just want to do. And that touches my heart, because it's like at young age when you see children, they get it. You mm-hmm. know, help somebody that's mm-hmm. in need. You know, and as adults, if everybody did that in the world, had a heart to help other people, it wouldn't be all these wars, all this hate, all this bigotry, all this prejudice. It wouldn't be all that, because everybody would be looking at one another as if they were looking at themselves in the mirror as just another human being.
They would be operating out of love.
Out of love. It would be out of love.
From a position of love.
A position of love. It takes love in the heart to do something, like to give mm-hmm. to others. It takes love. Okay. So back to the story. You know, so again, when we're talking about this parable about the man, both the rich man and poor man, they cross over into eternity. Two different places. Again, wealth had no kind of influence over where they ended up.
Right.
But the poor man to me represents someone that is viewed as insignificant because mm-hmm. of lack. You know, a lot of people do dismiss the poor because they feel like they're not somebody that's important if they ain't in their circle. Mm-hmm. And also if we look at in government, if government would also look at everyone that stand in their nation as someone that is like a neighbor, regardless of what's in their bank accounts or whatever, mm-hmm. then again, that would be a compassion show to all people, not just the wealthy.
That's right.
But to the poor and the middle class as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a heart for God. So again, people can learn a lot from walking in love. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, the poor man represents someone viewed as insignificant, seated in the most unexpected place in a heavenly paradise, a banquet in eternity where there's plenty. And then another thing stands out to me was that he was seated at a table beside Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that Abraham has a commonality with believers in Jesus is, you know, Abraham was justified by faith in God. And we, as believers in Jesus, we're justified by faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, because in Romans chapter 4, it lets us know that, you know, that Abraham believed God. So it was mm-hmm. God counted to him as righteousness. And it wasn't something that he could work for, like people think and still are teaching
right.
Wrongly. In verse 4, it says, when people work, their wages are not a gift.
That's right.
But something they have earned. So when you go in, you clock in every day at your job, you're getting paid for what you've done.
Right.
Okay, but when verse 5 says, but people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because they have faith in God who forgives sinners. So when people believe in Jesus, mm-hmm. They're not clocking in and they working for to get paid mm-hmm. to have an salvation, to have eternity with God. Jesus comes and said, listen, I'm going to pay the ticket. You can come in, you can sit down, you know, you can do the work, you know, or you could, you know, sit down. I'm gonna pay for, you know, you to have to sit in luxury and you get, you know, a good life after this. But when you love God, you're like, well, you know what? I don't want to sit down and do nothing. Mm-hmm. Let me do some work, but not because I got to, but just because mm-hmm. I want to.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. because one thing about when people are trying to work their way to heaven and I'm going to do good deeds to get, oh, I'm going to follow the Ten Commandments or whatever to work my way in. You can't work your way into a ticket that only Jesus could pay for.
Right.
You can't work your way into that. So, but you do want to, once you receive Jesus, you want to live a life that honors God.
Yes.
So therefore you're saying, God, you did this for me. You know what? I just want to keep representing you in a good light, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and that's also a heart that loves God, because only a heart that loves God wants to walk in love with others and mm-hmm. do good and show people what good looks like. Show people what God looks like, what Jesus looks like, by showing love towards others.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, you can be made righteous with Jesus, you know, who is the Son of God, you know? So all believers in Jesus, they have a an expected eternity, mm-hmm. because it's one that is promised to be with Christ Jesus. So salvation is by faith, not by works, not That's by the right. amount of money in your bank account, you know. So so today, you know, on earth, the status of wealth may look like they got it all, you know, and the status of poor may look like you don't. But if you have Jesus, you have the wealth of the of eternity in yes. your hands. So you're building up those treasures in heaven. So there is a life after this. So let's take a quick look at our findings about what eternity looks like in the Word, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus tells believers, those that believe in him, you know, in John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3, he says, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, I would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I'll come get you. Mm. And so you will always be with me where I am.
Yeah.
So the blessing in that for believers is, you know, this Jesus is especially prepared this place for believers. And there's no shortage of living space. He said, you're welcome. Come, mm-hmm. come, you know, but come to
all
him.
Who will.
All mm-hmm. who will come to Jesus and receive him. There's plenty of room for you. So it tells me that God, you know, he wants to take as many into paradise and eternity with him as possible for all those that have faith and believe and receive his son, mm-hmm. Jesus. Then we think of eternity is a new environment. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, John tells us about his vision of what he saw, what is to come of this new environment. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 4, it says, then I saw a new heaven and a mm-hmm. new earth, mm-hmm. for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared and the sea was gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for a husband. Mm-hmm. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God yeah. himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Mm. So that's the new environment. You know, life with God, a beautiful city adorned like a bride for her husband. You know, when a bride get ready to get married, you know, she got it all. She got on her best. She got yeah. her hair did, nails did. Mm. She got on her best jewelry. She don't pick out this beautiful dress. Mm-hmm. So God is essentially letting us know in the word that for those to receive his son, Jesus, he's saying, okay, this is beautiful city that is adorned for you. As, you know, for it's beautiful. It's all mm-hmm. decked out. It's all decked out. It's mm-hmm. the best of the best. It's mm-hmm. the best thing you've ever seen. So, you know, and there's no sadness there. No right. sadness. So that gives you a picture of eternity with Jesus and God. No sadness. Then there's the new experience of God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Corinthians 13 and 12 and Revelation 21:3, it say, you know, basically, I'm just going to paraphrase. It tells us that the way we view things now are imperfect and they're puzzling. We can't understand everything the way the world, you know, works or whatever. But in eternity, we will see everything perfectly with clarity. So mm-hmm. you won't have no questions then, you know. And what we know now is incomplete. We know in parts, but then in eternity, we're going to know, it's going to be completely known. Mm-hmm. So again, if somebody believed wrong here on earth, when they get in turn, the truth is going to be so in front of their face that they can't deny mm-hmm. no more. They mm-hmm. can't, they can live here and listen to people that's denying Jesus all they want to. But when you get into eternity, after you take that last breath, you cannot deny that Jesus is the Son of God mm-hmm. and that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit or the Trinity are one.
That's right.
The truth will be right in your face.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, that's all I can mm-hmm. say. And in Revelation it said, you know, God is now the home among his people.
Mm.
His people. So that's a beautiful thing. So and let's look at the also in eternity, the eternal bodies that are in Christ,
mm-hmm.
Which are unlimited by physical properties.
Right.
And John chapter 20, again, you know, verses 19, 26, Jesus is appears to the disciples. And it says on that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. So Jesus didn't have to knock. He didn't have to climb through a window.
Mm-mm.
He just, nobody had to open the door to him. He just appeared just like that
mm-hmm.
right in front of them. So, you know, that lets you know the physical body in eternity, it doesn't have a limit. If you're in Christ, it doesn't have a limitation physically of having to walk through a door, you just appear right where you need to be. So that's the eternal body, you know, no limitations physically. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, it also tells us in verse 26, you know, again, Jesus appears to the disciples and Thomas was there this time. Doors was locked once again, and then he just appeared. So again, no doorway to enter the room. His eternal body had no physical limitations. He could just enter where, you know, wherever he wanted. Okay, and so also let's look at eternity. We look for those that are like Christ. Those that are in Jesus. The reason why I'm telling about the part with Jesus, because this is a glorious part. Because when you have Christ and you receive him, now you got everything waiting for you in eternity. Mm-hmm. You know? And, you know, you have the blessing even here now on earth. Now, it don't mean you ain't gonna go through stuff, but it just means there is an expected hope for your eternal life, which eternity, of course, does not end. But those that are in Christ, they're like Jesus. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it lets us know that, you know, we're, dear friends, we are already God's children. Mm-hmm. But he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But when we do, we'll be like him. Mm-hmm. So we will see him as he truly is. So we're going to see him in his truest form, in his eternal body. And, you know, it's going to be like something we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And also, here's a side note, you know, a picture of what having an immortal body like Jesus looks like, just by how Jesus returns. Okay. So scripture lets us know. Pay attention to people that have seen stuff on Facebook like I have, where some man is pretending to be Jesus in Africa and with some pastor, and he said that he prayed for Jesus to come, and some man shows up in the village dressed like he come from, you know, threw on some kind of, I don't know, robe or something. And my point is, people were taking pictures with this man. This man is not Jesus, okay?
That's right.
I'm going to tell you why he's not Jesus, because in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, and as somebody who read the word, you will realize that somebody just walking up on a scene like that ain't Jesus. It says, look, he comes with the clouds of heaven. Now, it says, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes and amen. Okay, so Jesus, when he returns, he's going to come in the clouds. So it's going to be a spectacular event. Everybody going to be looking at the sky like, what's getting ready to happen? It's going to be probably some kind of light show or whatever. You know, might be thunders, lightnings. I don't know. Either way, it's going to draw everybody's attention to the sky.
Yep.
So it's not like he's just going to walk up in a village and say, hey, you know, I heard y'all pray for me and I'm here. That's not how he says Jesus is going to return. When he returns to the earth, it's going to be a big event, and everybody going to see him coming in the clouds, in the it's not going to be somebody just walk up on the scene on the dirt path and say, hey, I'm here. No, it's he wants people to know, I am Jesus. I am the Savior, and I'm here I am. And so people are going to be, so it's going to be a spectacular event. It's not going to be something normal that only a few people see. It says in scripture, everyone will see him.
And there will be no denying
it. It will be no denying it, because
the scripture said, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess for a reason.
Yeah. And I go back to even in this verse in Revelations 1 and 7, where it says all the nations of the world will mourn for him. And that's because people will realize he really is real. Jesus really is the Son of God. These Christians won't crazy after all. He is really the Son of God. He is coming in the cloud. Can't no human, although he was human and fully God, but can't no regular human. I'm gonna say because he was a super old, you know, because he was fully God. He's fully God and he is fully human. But they don't know nobody like us. Nobody born like us. That's from two earthly parents.
Right.
It's gonna be just in the sky like that, unless we got the help of the Lord Jesus lift us up.
That's
His Holy
right.
Spirit to lift us up. So, you know, that's why, you know, the immortal body in eternity, it's not going to be like this one. I'm not saying it's going to be looking freaks. It's going to be so full of God's glory. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially if you're in Christ, that, you know, you can just do things that you cannot do here.
Right.
You know? But, you know, and again, I go back to Mark chapter 13, where it tells us the warning of false messiahs, false prophets saying they're Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I said, how you would know? Because the word of God describes it in Mark. You know, a lot, it describes in details, lots will be happening. You will not mistake that this is Jesus that everyone's going to see. It's going to be worldwide news.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be going viral everywhere, because people will be like, look at what's going on in the sky, y'all. Mm-hmm. Look, it really is him. The Christians won't lie. They believed it was true. And it's going to be some Christians that was, I'm gonna be shocked too, because they're gonna be like the well, I ain't gonna go into that, it's gonna be my devotional, but they're gonna be some Christians that gonna be like, woo, he really is, you know, because some folks is just playing church. Some folks is playing on, church. You know, not everybody that calls themselves a Christian is really has a relationship with Jesus. They doing the ritual acts of let's check off A, B, C, and D in the list. But God is like, I want a relationship with you. This is what having a relationship with Jesus is about, having him as Lord, so have him lead you and guide you by his Holy Spirit. But, you know, some folks, like I said, they're going to be shocked because, you know, it's going to be news to them too because, you know, you know what you really believe when you live out this earth like you are waiting for Jesus to return. That's how you know what people are truly believe. You're truly believing, guys. So I'm gonna try to wrap this up. So of course, again, Jesus' second coming is gonna blow people's minds. You know, when he comes to the earth. But again, like I said, the new bodies, the glorified bodies, they'll be different from the earthly bodies. And you know, people that are buried in natural bodies, they're gonna be raised in spiritual bodies. So you know, we're transformed in a blink of an eye. You know, when at Jesus' return, a trumpet gonna blast off, and you know, the dying, decaying bodies gonna be transformed to bodies that will never die. So that our mortal bodies are gonna become transformed into immortal bodies. So you know, and that's because in eternity we don't need a mortal body. A mortal body is not gonna work in eternity because a mortal body can die and decay, but an immortal body will not die, will not decay. It's gonna be like Christ. So if you again, you know, eternity can be a wonderful experience for those in Christ.
And on the flip side, those who do not receive Jesus, you're gonna get
an immortal body,
your body is going to
last in torment.
It lasts in torment. It say you be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. And the body will be so that it cannot burn up.
No, it can't. It's
you'll just burn suffer. forever and ever.
So why choose to ignore Jesus?
That's right.
When it's as simple, salvation is a free gift. I need to receive what he did on the cross. Read in the word and in the Holy Bible, what he did for us, you know, for the world, you know, to save the whole world, for all those that would believe. But again, you know, it's the eternity in Christ. It's going to be a wonderful experience. It's like no eyes seen, no ears, you know, heard, and no mind can imagine what God has prepared for those that love him. There's no more, there's new emotions, no more death, you know. There's no more crying, death, or sorrow, pain. Evil is gone. All these things are gone forever because evil is thrown into the abyss where everybody that just did not believe in Jesus. You know, that's a sad thing, but you know, there are some that's just refusing. But you know, that's your choice.
That's right.
So we're gonna wrap this up. And there's one last thing I want to share, and a scripture I want to share was in Revelation 21, verse 5-7, where it says, "And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.'" "And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It is finished.' I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." And that's an awesome picture of a new start, a new life, filled with nothing but blessings. And it all begins with receiving Jesus, having faith in Jesus. So here is where Jesus comes in at. Okay, if you don't know him, as long as there's breath in your body, you got a chance to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, because he came to save the world, you know, not to condemn it, not to judge it. So, but in Romans 10:9, verse 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved.
It did not say by having to keep commandments.
That's right. It did not say by your works. It did say by your performance here on earth. It said by believing in your heart, you were made right with God.
The thief on the cross, he was on the cross because he was a thief.
That's right. That's right.
But he asked Jesus, "Could I be with you?" And Jesus said, "Today mm-hmm. he would be with me in paradise. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a chance mm-mm. to not steal no more, mm-hmm. none of that. Mm-hmm. All he did was ask Jesus, can I be with you? Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So his works uh-huh. mm-hmm. did not get him uh-huh. to be with Jesus uh-huh. in paradise. Let's make that very clear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying, okay, you're supposed to go out mm-hmm. and steal, mm-hmm. kill, and all that stuff. I'm mm-hmm. not saying that it's mm-hmm. okay for you to go out and do mm-hmm. that. No. That's not what I'm saying at mm-hmm. all. But what I'm saying is, if when you receive Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you are with him.
Mm-hmm.
Then as you grow with him and you mm-hmm. grow in love, then you wouldn't want to do that. When mm-hmm. you operate out of love,
mm-hmm.
you truly operating out of the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go out and steal from somebody.
Mm-mm.
You don't mm-hmm. want to go out and cheat on, commit adultery. Mm-hmm. And you get the whole list. And anyway, Jesus said, love fulfills the law.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because everybody walked in love, even on earth today, if everyone walked in love, there would be none of this animosity,
right.
wars, and prejudice, and just hatred and murder. It wouldn't be none of that.
None of
people would respect one another's relationships, marriages, people will respect the poor. I would even kind of say it wouldn't be as many poor because it would be more people with a heart to help the poor.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But because people, you know, are missing what walking in love means. And again, if you don't have Jesus, you ain't gonna know how to do that no way.
No.
But if you have him, he can show you the way. He's
That's
the
right.
truth, the way, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
So don't ignore the pull to him.
Mm-mm.
Like Esty said, just like the thief on the cross, that thief didn't come down and fulfill not one commandment correctly.
Mm-hmm.
All he did was said, Jesus, this thing, let me be with you. Let me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go where you going
mm-hmm.
when
mm-hmm.
I take my last breath. And Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. So he didn't have to do no performance, no
mm-hmm.
works, didn't
mm-hmm.
follow all 10 commandments. As a matter of fact, he was on that thief was on that cross because he committed a crime. But that day Jesus showed what mercy and grace
yeah.
look like, and grace and mercy is what entered in through Jesus when Jesus died on the cross for
yes.
the rest of the world. All they had to do was let that thief on the cross receive what Jesus
that's
did.
That's all they had
received
to
him, receive, have faith in him
mm-hmm.
that he was truly the Son of God.
And it was free.
He was free. He was set free. He was set
mm-hmm.
free. Again, that's, you know, grace and mercy isn't a call to keep on sinning. It's when you really want a relationship with Jesus, you want to love on him. You want to live a life to honor him. And you want to tell people how good he is.
Yes.
And in that, you know that how you behave is going to show people how good he is. Because if you really spend enough time with Jesus, he going to rub off on you through his word. And your
yeah.
his word will transform your mind so that you can begin to walk like Jesus, talk
mm-hmm.
like Jesus, live
mm-hmm.
like Jesus, love mm-hmm. like Jesus.
But
so,
if you mess up,
he still loves you.
He still loves you. And you can come right on back.
That's mercy.
Right on.
That's
mess
grace.
Mess up that one time, you just do right the next
mm-hmm,
time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's mercy and grace. And again,
mm-hmm.
don't know the pull to him. He's calling you. Come to Jesus. Receive him. Don't take too long. Eternity, again, it's a breath away.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, eternity awaits. And if
yes.
you're already in Christ, keep on living for. Keep on telling people about Jesus. How
yes.
good he is. You know, if some people just out there talking about you're sin, you need to fulfill commandments or whatever there. You don't eat, you eat this and you eat that, you're wrong and all that, but eat pork and that. Listen to me. If you focus on the things of the world, you will miss Jesus.
Yes.
If you focus on Jesus, you will see God.
Yes.
Now, if you continue to work towards trying to condemn people about
how
fulfilling the commandments or
mm-hmm.
how you're supposed to be living, then you, like I said, again, like the rich man, he thought he had it all before him. He thought he had it all because he focused on the material things he had or his philosophies. But
mm-hmm.
the rich man, his philosophies ended him up in an eternity that he could never get out of.
Mm-hmm.
And that was eternity in torment. So, you know, it's a way out. When we're telling about Jesus, we're not condemning anybody.
Mm-mm.
We're not forcing anybody to say, you got to receive him. But if you got Jesus, keep on pursuing him. Keep on growing in the word.
Yes.
Keep on chasing after a relationship with Jesus. Talk to him. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Talk to
mm-hmm.
God. Let God pour into you what's in him so you can pour out to others.
Yes.
But if you don't know Jesus, you need to know him.
Yes.
And you will not regret it. So here's a prayer that you can say to invite Jesus into your life as Lord and Savior. Just say, Father God, I am a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in my heart that you died, Jesus, on the cross for my sins and that God raised you from the dead. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life because
mm-hmm.
I need a Savior. Come into my heart. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. I make you my Lord and Savior.
Yes.
And if you pray that simple prayer, you are now born again. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. You're now born again. So welcome to the family of God. Mm-hmm. I praise God for you, for that are listening, that receive, that are drawn to Jesus. He will draw those unto him. Mm-hmm. So if you feel in that pool, I pray that you have, you know, said that prayer that I just said for you to pray. If you want to receive him in your heart, you need a holy Bible. You need to get a translation that you can understand. Mm-hmm. Get a good study Bible. Get, whether it's New King James, New Living, New International, mm-hmm. English Standard Version, Amplified. There's a lot of good versions out there of the Holy Bible. Mm-hmm. But get a study Bible as a companion to that particular translation, so that you can also grow in knowledge. And as you are seeking God, God can unfold the scriptures to you and really speak to you through the scriptures. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm a witness. We are a witness mm-hmm. of that, that he can do that. So you will not be talking to a God that won't respond.
Yeah.
That's for certain.
Amen.
So, you know, and then find a right Bible-based church with Jesus at the center. As today, you know, it's a good thing that we have like YouTube, because you can check out somebody just streaming online.
Yeah.
Check out different, see what they're talking about. If it's focused around Jesus and the love of Jesus and grace, I tell you, give it, just listen to it a couple of times. And then if it's in your area, go to, if not, you know, keep on streaming and pray and ask God to lead you to one that is similar to that, mm-hmm. so that you can keep on getting fed. You know, not one teacher got everything, but if you got Jesus, they have everything.
Yeah.
So that's the important thing. So it's center a church based and centered around Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a life-changing moment when you receive Jesus. So you need to be somewhere in the body of Christ. There are gifts in you that God has given you mm-hmm. for you to pour out into others' lives. Our lives are not just to be on an island. Our lives are meant to change somebody else's life.
Yes.
So join in to the great plan of God and become a part of just showing the love of God all over the world. So if you have any questions, please contact us over our website at mm-hmm. spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com and click the contact us tab. We want to hear from you to help point you in the right direction. You have any questions or concerns, please address us. We want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. It blesses us to know that we can help and be a service unto you. So as in closing, we just want to say a quick closing prayer. Father God, we just thank you, God, for all the heroes. We pray for all those that listen to the end of this episode on today. We pray that it was a blessing to them.
Yes.
And we pray, Father God, that as you draw them unto you, those that come to you, God, that they will see and experience your love as we have.
Yes.
We pray blessings upon their family. We pray blessings upon their nation. And we just thank you, God, that you are the God of all gods and Jesus is the Lord of all lords. And the King of Kings, and we are so great, God, to know you. And we thank you, God, that we pray that you will bless them and keep them. You make your face shine upon them mm-hmm. and be gracious to them, God, that you would turn your face toward them and give them peace. It is in Jesus' great name that we pray in this Jesus' name. We believe that it's so. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Grace and peace to you. Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for listening to We Are She Talks podcast. If our content has blessed you in any way, reach out, let us know. And also, share it with your family and friends. For this week's show notes, go to spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com/S2E17. While you're there, take our short survey. Follow and like us on social media. Sign up for my SD's list of 10 must-read books for positive outlook, spiritual enlightenment, and brain health. Check out Lady V's devotional episodes. And if you like merch with positive messaging, go on over to our online store. Join us next time on She Talks, Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, where we are letting our light shine through faith, hope, and love.